Welcome to the teaching ministry of First United Methodist Church and Pastor Steve Kedon. We offer these messages in the hope that the Word of God will comfort the hurting, confront the comfortable, and create new life in us all. Let us now join together and offer our lives to God in worship.
Well, good morning. I asked Fred to drop the lights so that you can see some of these pictures a little bit better. Have you ever seen this show on TLC about hoarders? Have you seen that? It's kind of a really bizarre phenomenon that happens. I don't know if you've ever seen this or you've watched it. As a matter of fact, I was talking with Kiana a little bit about this week, and she said, you know, it is so bad sometimes I can't even stand to watch it. It kind of creeps you out a little bit, right? And there are people that, on the outside, when you see them out in public, they would look completely like everybody else. But in their home life, in private, secluded from everybody else, they're living this life of a hoarder. And there are several pictures that I want you to just take a look at. You know, just how people will just surround themselves with stuff. Sometimes it's just complete garbage. And sometimes it's stuff that is useful, but they've just acquired too much of it. How many of you have CD collections or DVD collections that you never really watch? They just seem to pile up. This guy's record collection is just phenomenal. And sometimes it gets so bad that it weighs down on you. It almost becomes part of you, an extension of who you are. Sometimes people don't even see. They can't even see what's around them. As we continue to think about what is compulsive hoarding. Compulsive hoarding is a mental disorder marked by an obsessive need to acquire and keep things, even if the items are worthless, hazardous, or unsanitary. Hoarding. It's about drawing into yourself, drawing all these things around yourself and living in almost pure misery. As a matter of fact, there is a thing called the misery of hoarding. Because if you think about the people that live in this kind of environment, this is the life that they live, there is no end to it. If you leave them alone, they just continue to acquire. It's almost self-perpetuating. The more stuff that they have, the more stuff that they need. And there is no end to it. There is no end to it because there is no happiness in it. Even the more stuff that they have, even if they have their house filled with stuff that they've purchased, there is no happiness for them because they are caught in this dilemma, this cycle of endlessly needing more and more and more. And so they have all of this that it never ends, and yet there is no happiness and there is no love. There is a false sense that if I acquire more, that maybe I'm valuable or I'm lovable. And so they exchange real relationships, real human relationships, for the things that are around them. As a matter of fact, if you've ever watched any of the shows, you'll find that it's often that it's destroying the family. People in the family can't get together because of all of this junk. They can't stand it. And yet they substitute a relationship with their family, their children, their loved ones for the stuff that's around them. Now, if you think about it, and if you let that dwell and you go home and chew on that a little bit, is that not to some extent what Jesus was talking about the real hell that awaits people that substitute love for God and for one another for love of things? It will be an endless cycle of acquiring more, trying to fill that void, and yet there is no happiness in it, because as soon as you acquire it, there's always more to be had. And you substitute true love, relationship love, for love of things and love of stuff. If you think about the journey that we've been on the last couple of weeks, talking about the journey of the gospel and of how sometimes we spiral off, you can see that so often it is that we spiral off and we can't see it. And the people that are in this hoarding mentality can't see it for themselves. They're unable to see the dilemma in which they find themselves. Many of you know that oftentimes when I like to talk about what the nature of sin is, how the Bible talks about sin and how it separates us from God, but really when we talk about it here, we talk about it in terms of an addiction. This is a true addiction. I have to have it. I hate it. I don't like it, but I need it. I need more of it. There's a story that we were actually watching on TV last night about a crew that went around, psychologists that went around to hoarders, and there was a lady that lived in a very exclusive upscale apartment on Fifth Avenue. And when they went into her apartment, they found that she was literally walking on 2 feet of garbage. And so it wasn't just for the poor people. She lived an upscale, highly educated, but she was caught in this addiction. She was caught in an addiction. Now, the thing is what happens is the reason that I'm telling you all of this is that we can often think, well, this is more of a modern thing, and this is for, you know, those people. But do you realize that hoarding began way back even in Jesus' time? Jesus tells stories and warns us about the temptation of hoarding. He tells us a story in Matthew's gospel, in Luke's gospel. And I want to share that with us as we get into thinking about our own lives and the temptation that all of us have to have that little bit of nugget in all of us that is the seed of being a hoarder. Would you join with me as we share our lives together and we open up God's word? This is God's word for my life in this place and at this time. Today, I am a new creation in Christ. I am God's very own, and I believe he has a purpose for my life. As I read from Luke's gospel, I want to see if you can find out what Jesus is talking about in terms of being a hoarder. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And then he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and I'll build bigger ones. And there I will store all my grains and my goods. And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool. This very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself?' This is how it will be for anyone who stores up things for himself, but is not rich towards God." This is the word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Father God, we just pray that you will open our hearts and our minds to see ourselves clearly, to understand the temptations that lie before us, and to challenge ourselves to walk in your way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Solomon, who is perhaps one of the greatest kings of Israel's time, certainly one of the wealthiest. His wealth was renowned around the world, and he fell into this trap of always needing more, never satisfied with what he had, but always wanting more, trying to either impress other people or trying to meet some need to be approved by others. But at the end of his life, many of you, if you've never read it, I encourage you to read Ecclesiastes. It's Solomon's story, it's his biography, it's his wisdom of the journey that he has taken. And Ecclesiastes 5, he tells this tale. Whoever loves money never has enough, and whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with his income. This too is meaningless. Solomon understood the temptation that money has in our lives, things, possessions. He understood that we are people that are tempted by addictions to satisfy that deep longing. And so this morning we want to talk about the life of a hoarder. And I want to ask you, do you know anybody that lives like that? That lives in those, with all of this stuff around them and yet is never satisfied. So oftentimes we do know somebody. We know somebody that lives like those pictures. But the truth of the matter is do you have that little nugget of hoarder in you? Let me ask you this question. Do you have in your home, do you have a drawer that is so filled with spoons or knickknacks that is sometimes it's difficult to open? Or sometimes when you close the door, you like to make sure that it's slammed shut because everything might just fall out. Do you have bins or boxes from times gone past that you love to keep, but you haven't opened in a couple of years? Do you know people that have one of their car bays that they just never park a car in because it's so filled with stuff? Stuff that they need, but stuff that they never use. Do you have clothes in your closet that have been there for years that you'll never use and you'll never wear, but somehow you have an attachment to them? Or do you have a collection of shoes that goes on and on and on? We all have deep within us this nugget of wanting to hoard. But our greatest temptation for you and for me is not just the necessity to hoard things, substance, items. We tend to go a little bit deeper. We tend to hoard money. We have a temptation to hoard money, to give it a certain power, a certain identity, to infuse it a personality that you need more of it. It doesn't make you happy. Very often, we have huge bank accounts, and yet we feel we need just a little bit more. We live the life of a hoarder. If you think about all of the people that live in these homes that are living with garbage and filth, that have all of these things that they continue to need to purchase in order to satisfy them, why do they do it? Why do we do it? Why is it that this rich man felt the necessity to tear down his barn so that he could store more? Because he felt that then it would make him happy. Do you think that he really followed through? That when he had two barns, he said, now this is... Or did he need three barns? And did he need more and more? Jesus is saying, watch out. Be wary that you don't fall into this trap. The reason that it is so easy to fall into this trap is that money provides a false sense of security. A false sense of security. We live with the idea that my stuff, everything that surrounds me, will provide a shield and a shelter from the world. I can protect myself. Very often, the people that have all of this junk, if you watch these shows, you'll find that the people that have all of this junk around them have so identified with it that when the junk is asked to be removed, when they say, we will come in and clean your house, they can't do it because it is their security. It will leave them vulnerable. How many of us feel vulnerable when we start to talk about money? When we start talking about giving, we feel vulnerable. I don't have enough. I don't have enough to meet my bills. Maybe we're hoarding too much. David wrote in 2 Samuel, he said, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation. What is the one thing that is truly secure? Especially in the recent economic turmoil, there were people that put all of their emphasis and all of their strength in their homes and in the value of their investment until the economy went down and it wasn't there anymore. Are we putting too much emphasis on the security that our money can give us? If it is, then we too have become a hoarder. Money also provides a false sense of belonging. A false sense of belonging, to a community that if you have a certain wealth, then you have a certain status, that you belong to that group, that they love you because you are part of the group, because you have a certain status that you need to maintain. People that live with hoarding mentalities that have these huge collections, they believe that by having these things, It makes them valuable. It makes them significant. They're able to connect with something. Something that they have is valuable, and it translates into their own lives. How many times do you know people that just want another promotion in their job in order to have some kind of a status so that that status will give their life meaning and significance? And yet it's hollow. And Jesus has said, you're becoming just like a hoarder. It's not going to satisfy what you need. It's not going to give you what's important to your life. In Ecclesiastes chapter 4, Solomon writes, there was a man who was all alone. He had neither son nor brother, and yet there was no end to his toil. His eyes were not content with his wealth. He had substituted his wealth for his relationships. He had worked constantly in order to build up wealth, but he had never invested in true relationships. See, wealth tends to do that. It tends to isolate us. We think it connects us with other people, and yet it makes us more and more isolated. And finally, money, above all things, provides us with a false sense of meaning. It's as if we have a purpose. And the people that collected all of this garbage around them, or they had this huge collection of records, very often, as they collect all of these things, it says, I am valuable because I have these things. Because I have this, I must be worth something. All of us have within us this need for validation, that your life is valuable, that you have achieved something, that you are significant. And we have, and we answer that need by acquiring more stuff. Even if you have a huge bank account, you point to that bank account and said, that validates my life. And yet Jesus said, that is hollow and it's going nowhere. We're living in misery because there's no end to it. It gives you no happiness, no pleasure, and it separates you, and you don't have that sense of love. In Ecclesiastes chapter 2, Solomon wrote, yet when I surveyed all that my hands had done and what I had toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless. It was chasing after the wind. He recognized that he had spent all of his time trying to acquire wealth and power, and yet it was hollow. It left him empty on the inside. Solomon wrote Ecclesiastes in order to warn us. It is a warning letter. Beware, be on your guard. And Jesus tells the parable of the rich man and the barns in order to say, be wary, it sneaks up on you. You think you're doing good, and yet you're surrounded by all of this garbage and misery. But here was the interesting thing. How do hoarders become aware that they have this illness? How do they become aware? And we want to ask that about us. I asked you at the beginning, how do you know if you are a hoarder or you have that inclination? It was interesting to find out in my reading this week that hoarders don't realize that they have a problem until they are confronted by separation. They don't recognize that they have a hoarding mentality. See, people were happy, they were content, or at least they were living in a lifestyle that they understood and that they could control. But until people came in and said, let us clean out all of this garbage, that they began to break down. They began to see what was really going on in their life. For all of us, when we talk about our own mentality, our own challenges with wealth and with power, we find that nobody gets really nervous until we start talking about separation. Remember the rich young ruler that came to Jesus? Said, what must I do to live that full, abundant life? And Jesus said, it's easy. Sell all that you have. Get rid of what is burdening you. Get rid of your addiction. And then come follow me. He talked about separation. And what happened? He went away sad because he had challenged that addiction. So let me ask you this question. This is where we're really leading. Are you a financial hoarder? Do you have that addiction? Is that part of who you are? Is that how you're living your life? If Jesus were here this morning as I believe that he is, and he was talking to you about your life, and you came to him and said, Jesus, what must I do to live a healthy, whole life? Would he say, you've got to get rid of all of this junk, this garbage that's holding you down? There are a couple of things that I think that we need to look at. Let's think about these. Think about your own life. Do you ever say to yourself, I don't have enough for my bills? That's another way of saying, I need more. I'm never satisfied. I have to have more because I can't cut back. I have to have more. And if I get a little bit more, then I'll be happy. But until I get a little bit more, I need to constantly be in a process of acquiring. Do you ever hear that in your own self or with people that are around you? I need, I need, I need. The second thing that often happens is giving generously is painful. Separation, when people start talking about money, it makes us nervous. We hate to hear about giving in the church. We hate it. Why? Because it's touching our addiction. And especially if we were to look at the Bible says about tithing, tithing is completely unrealistic. That can't be done, even though that's what Jesus asks of us. 10% is beyond, that's just unreasonable. It is so painful to think about giving at that kind of level because it's got its clutches so deep within us. And finally, I don't even like to talk about giving. I guarantee somebody at some point is going to let me know in the next week that we talk too much about money in this church. They're going to say, we ought to talk about something else. We've got to talk about grace and love and peace and joy, all good things. Let's not talk about money. I want to move away from that. I don't want to talk about that. I want to talk about something else. Because when you start talking about money, you're talking about behaviors. You're talking about responses. And I don't like doing that. I want to be left alone. I just want to give you that warning about being buried alive, about being a hoarder. Because here's the thing. We all look at one another and we say, we don't live like that. We don't have homes that are filled with garbage. But I guarantee that if I were to bring some of those people that I know from Haiti, and we were to walk through your houses, and we were to walk through your storage sheds and your rental units, they'd want to pray for us. Say, you have way too much stuff. And it's hindering your spiritual development. All of the people on these shows about hoarding never believed for a moment that they had an illness. They never believed it. They were stuck in this addiction. They needed to have more. And they were so terrified about having their stuff taken away because it had become so much part of their identity. And yet people came in and said, it'll be okay. Love the people that are going to walk with you more than the stuff that cannot, the false idols. Think about your own journey of faith, that your own bank account is so much more important than your spiritual journey and your spiritual walk. When you think about what you give to the church and to the ministries, to helping people out, is it painful for you? I hate to think about writing that check. I hate to think about giving. And I hate it when the pastor talks about doing more. Doesn't he know that my bills are so big and I need more? Doesn't he know that it's painful and it's unrealistic in our culture today? And doesn't he know that there are other topics that we would rather hear about? Now, here's the good news. Jesus tells us the pathway to get out of our addiction, to do it in community, to hold one another accountable. Somebody has to step into your life and say, you've got a problem. You've got an addiction. It's holding you down. If you give, you will feel that joy, that abundance, that freedom of living joyfully. And that's what Jesus wants. Next week, we're going to continue on our series on hoarding. And we're going to look at how Jesus goes after that rich young man and gives him the pathway to a whole new kind of life. It's available to you if we can change our mental structure. But the first thing that we have to recognize, you have to do some serious soul searching and look at yourself. And maybe even if you went so far as to say, I need a friend to tell me the truth because I can't see it for myself. To step in and say, yeah, you're hoarding. Next week, we're going to look at how Jesus takes a young man and helps bring him out, or at least offers him a pathway out of his addiction. If he did it then, he'll do it for you too. Let us pray. Father God, we gather this morning because we all have problems. We all struggle to live a life that is holy and pure, that is without fear or anxiety. Live joyfully. And yet, Father, we are often prisoners of our own success. Help us, O God, heal us, challenge us, and invite us into a deeper walk with you and with one another. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.